Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
How's my sermon so far? Thank you. I use the guitar because it's the best way I have to illustrate something I am so passionate about. I want to share with you today three ways to make 2016 your best year ever. These are tools that I teach worldwide to corporations, associations, and individuals, and they work. So let's jump right into this. The first tool, to change anything, the first thing that has to change is our brains, the way we think. There's an inertia to the old way of thinking that's self-perpetuating. It turns out that God is very sensitive to the way we think. Throughout the Bible, we see examples where God is saying, hey, these are the thoughts that I want you to have. These are the ways I want you to think because they're going to have the best results for you. My favorite verse to this, and it's actually one of my favorite in the whole Bible, is in the book of Philippians. If you have your Bible, I want you to open to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. We're going to put the verse on the screen. By the way, if you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, we give them away for free. They're back there, what we call the Velcro bar. Velcro connection, get it? Velcro, okay. That's pretty good. But the Bibles are absolutely free. You can just take one and go. This is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This was a letter written from a guy named Paul to the church at Philippi, hence the name. In it, he says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You see what's happening here? God is saying, look, you are not a victim of your thoughts. They don't just happen randomly. You have a choice in how you think. And thinking about these things is what's going to be more successful for you. It's going to cause your life to be better. The most basic human brain function, cognitive function, is to ask questions. I don't know if you realize that. Thinking is questioning. We are thousands of times a day asking and answering questions. It's just going on in our brains. I'll give you an example. You're driving. Which direction am I going? Should I turn left or right? Is the light turning red or green? What did she say? What did she mean by what she said? That's a guy question. So right away, what I would love for you to do for the rest of today, as you meet people, as you experience things, start to just notice the questions that your brain asks about that situation. Because the types of questions that we ask do nothing less than define the quality of our lives. When we're asking positive questions that open up the possibilities, that's the kind of existence we're creating. And while there are many great questions, I want to share with you my favorite. It's absolutely simple. You've totally heard this question before. I'm just going to invite you to revisit it with me for a little bit. And the question is this. What if? What if? When you ask the question, what if, in a positive way, you open up the possibilities every time. What if I could do that? What would it look like? Oh, I know, it's crazy, but what if I try this? How would it work? I will bet you every one of us has a challenge with what I call the naysayers, the ones in your life who shoot things down, who don't seem to be out after the best in your life. People, oh, you can't do that. Are you really going to try that? Oh, that's kind of stupid. My favorite. We've never done it that way before, right? You got them somewhere in your life. And if you don't have them anywhere in your life, be careful because it might be you. I hope not in this room, right? Here's what I like to do with the naysayers, because I get them a lot, because I get some pretty crazy ideas as an artist, and if you don't believe me, search my name on YouTube. I get some crazy thoughts, and people will go, oh, you can't do that. Are you really going to try that? I go, you know, you're right, I can't. But what if I could? What would it look like? Oh, I know, it's nuts. It's nuts. But what if it wasn't? What if we did it? How would it work? It's cool. It's what I would call conditional surrender. You're surrendering to their point of view. You're right. This is nuts. I recognize that. And you're moving on with finding a way to do it anyway, which is awesome because it's going to open up possibilities for you where you didn't even know you had them. It's going to drastically increase your results, and it's going to piss them off, and I like that. Okay? There are two powers behind the question, what if? First of all, it doesn't mean you're going to do it. Whatever this idea is, this concept, this new thought, this goal that you have, doesn't mean you're going to do it. Counterintuitively, a lack of commitment at this point is a huge strength. Why? Because if there's nothing on the line, there's no consequence, at that moment, absolutely anything is possible. And that's where we want to start. That's where we want to start in 2016. Let's leave behind the old thinking, that old 2015, and say, hey, what if we could do that? What if I could make that happen? That goal that I didn't think was possible. What if I could? How would it work? And guess what? The old thinking is still there. If you want to pick it up, you can do that. But let's move into the new. Let's try something different. That's one power. The other power is because questions define the way we think. When we're willing to ask, what if, as a habit, in a positive way, you've reprogrammed your brain to where you are now walking through life no longer looking for reasons you can't. As a default, you are looking for reasons you can. It is a simple change, but it is profound in the effects it's going to have on your life. I know I practice this in my life daily. I learned this by playing for drunk people, okay? I had this dream of playing guitar, and I started in clubs and bars, and when you got something you want to do, you prepared, right? I was all excited, and right away, I got people yelling out stupid requests under the alcofluence of alcohol, and I didn't know what to do with that, and I looked bad. We've all seen someone who doesn't do well on stage, and your skin crawls from, that was me, and then I got fed up. And let me tell you, if 2015 has not gone the way you want it to and you want 2016 to be better, get fed up. That's when things change. I knew something had to change. I didn't know what it would be. So I went in the next night and I got one of those weird requests. And I started in the old pattern. That's what we do, right? And then I thought, no, something's going to change here. And that's when God showed up. I have no idea why it popped into my head. Thank you. I thought, what if I could? I don't know this, but what if I could do it? It didn't mean I went and learned it. It meant I changed it. I changed the lyric or whatever. Whatever I did, they laughed at it, which was kind of cool. So then I moved on. I tried it again, and it worked again. Over time, these requests that were holding me back from everything I wanted, turns out they were there to take me to everything that I wanted. It just didn't look that way in the beginning. So as we go through some of these, I would love for you to think about whatever it is that holds you back, whatever it is that you fear or that you dread, that thorn in your life, whatever that is. We're going to circle back on that. We're going to try some of these, though. These are songs you've heard before, but not the way I'm going to do them. And I listen to everything, so we'll jump around. I actually got requests for the boy bands. You know,
I want to stand with you on a mountain. Down on me, yeah.
So, what if I could? Here's the cool thing. When you ask and answer the question, you are coming up with a solution that is yours. It is a product of your abilities and experiences. No one else would have come up with it. We're going to talk about that in a second. Here's how I heard that song. Boy bands, you have to have choreography.
If I was everything you want me to be, but you were mean and you were bad and then you lied to me. You were the worst, you did it all, you even cheated on me. I wanna throw you off of a mountain. wanna hold you under the sea. I wanna lay you to rest forever till the police come looking for me. Yeah, yeah.
What if? Oh, if you enjoyed that, we're gonna have a great morning. It's gonna be good. In fact, check this out. Did this one for Christmas. I used the question, what if, to write a Christmas song for my friend Philippe upon hearing the results of his paternity test.
Philippe's not a dad. Philippe's not a dad.
Philippe's not a dad. This is a joke. This is a joke. But you'll sing that for 2 weeks, man. It'll get stuck in your head, right? Now, if I had to say that there's a common denominator with every organization and every individual that I work with in this, it's this. We all say, we're trying to manage change. Everything's changing so fast. Technology, we can't keep up with it. The way we do business, changes in laws and regulations. Peter Drucker summed up my philosophy perfectly. He said, managing change is not only stupid, it's dangerous. The only way to manage change is to create change. And my question is, are you willing in 2016 to step out and create change in your own life? When you ask the question, what if, you're going to come up with a solution, as I said before, that's totally yours, a product of your abilities and experiences. This is where God is going to work with you to make 2016 amazing. The things that are different about you, the abilities that you have that no one else has. Now, the first time I dealt with change and learned a lot about this, I grew up in Virginia and North Carolina. I grew up playing blues and rock more than anything. After college, I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and requests changed. And when people request country, it's not, could you play some country? It's country, come on! And you gotta do it, right? Because they're packing. And I didn't know what to do with that. I thought, on the spot, what if I could? And an idea hit me. I just took the songs I do know and played them country. It's a whole new genre. The first one that came out was Tom Petty.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus and America too. She's a good girl, she's crazy about Elvis, loves horses and her boyfriend too. Now I'm free, free falling. Yes, I'm free.
What if? And keep in mind, this is just the way I'm applying it to my own expertise, and it will work for yours as well. In fact, I found a way to quiz myself on this. I can do any song country. I don't know why. I just do. I'll prove it, though.
Who let the dogs out? Who? Who let them dogs out? Who?
That's a country song. Who knew? Yep. And any type of music, too.
They keep trying to catch me riding dirty. Trying to catch me riding dirty. That's good.
I think we got like 17 hip-hop fans. Okay. It's okay. We'll reach out. More recognizable hip-hop.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Anyone over 30, that was Nelly. me too. We could go to classic rock, Queen. One more. Flo Rida. It works. What if? What if? Did you notice that was a Beverly Hillbillies theme? Now, it turns out what if, what we're doing here is we're taking things that appeared to be negative in our lives. For me, these requests, whatever it is for you, and by asking the question, what if, we're uncovering the opportunity in that challenge. I stumbled onto this truth because I would play in these clubs, and this is one of the unique challenges I had. People would yell all these crazy requests at the same time, and I had a cutoff time, and I had to fit them all in, and there wasn't enough time. It wouldn't work. And I thought, but what if it could? And a wild idea hit me. I put them together. I would choose two of the requests, the artists they asked for. I'd do an imitation of that one, saying that one's hit song, knock off two songs, one shot. This is Bob Marley, the king of reggae. Sings One Direction. There's opportunities everywhere. In fact, when my kids were growing up, I used to read to them, and they loved Dr. Seuss. And so the question came out, well, what if you could do Dr. Seuss in your show? And I'm like, well, okay, I do music and comedy, and this is a children's book, so it's not going to, but Daddy, what if? I had to step up. So this is Dr. Seuss as performed by Led Zeppelin. This will apply in your life and the things that you do. Okay, today, by asking the question, what if, we're doing three things I've purposely not pointed out to now. Number one, we're taking a huge problem, these requests for me, whatever it is for you, and we're poking fun at it. We're having fun with it, and we're lightening it up. Here's what happens. When you make a joke about something, you have no choice but to stand outside of it. It gives us a healthy distance. That levity causes a buffer. Causes a new perspective, and I'll guarantee you a better solution every time for that perspective, just by asking, what if? The other point is we're taking a huge problem, and we're intentionally, the moment your problem happens, we're not looking at it as a problem. We're intentionally looking for the opportunity. So let me ask you this. That thing that you thought about when I said, what holds you back? What is it that you fear, that you dread, you to avoid? What if there's something good about it? I know there's probably not, but what if there was? What would it be? Or what if there's an opportunity for you in it? What could it be? Or maybe it's a personal challenge. What if by overcoming it, it gave you an ability that made you unstoppable? What if? We're doing one more point. We're opening up our creativity. If you want 2016 to be awesome, tap into your creativity. We all have it. We just have it in different ways. I know that for me, I apply it with music, and I try to teach my kids. So my daughter Seneca and I were sitting around, we were talking about Taylor Swift's big hit song called You Belong With Me. And if you don't know the song, let me set it up. In the song, Taylor's the girl next door. She's got this thing for the cool guy in high school, but he's got the snooty cheerleader girlfriend, right? It's a play between the two girls. So Seneca and I are talking about it. We're playing with this question, what if? And together we came up with a great concept. What if we rewrite this song from the male perspective? Sung by a male, but representing a segment of male society in high school, which I feel has been grossly underrepresented thus far in song.
You're on the phone with your boyfriend. He's upset. He's going off about the homework he doesn't get. He'll never know mathematics like I do. I'm at the library studying for a test. He's been out hitting mailboxes with a bat. He'll never know quantum physics like I do. But he wears muscle shirts, I wear bow ties. He's good looking and I forgot to zip my fly. I'm dreaming of the day that you wake up and find that what you really want is a superior mind. If you could see that I'm the best at Nintendo Home Monitor, then why can't you see? You need a nerd like me. You need a nerd like me. Science Museum, talking all about Pythagorean theorem, looking at my comic books, thinking to myself, I bet she likes Star Trek, and you've got a brain that would make Albert Einstein proud. You use words that your boyfriend can't pronounce. The only thing you have in common with him is that you're both way into him, 'cause he plays football, I'm in the chess club, he's team captain, and I collect rare bugs, I've only got brains. He's got the brawn, but in 10 years he'll be mowing my lawn. If you could see that I'm the best at Nintendo Home Monitor, then why can't you see? You need a nerd like me. If you could see that I play Dungeons and Dragons, got a scholarship to MIT, get a GED. He'll get a GED.
My people.
Yes.
Cool. Okay. So we're asking what if. What if I could do that? What would it look like? I know it's nuts. I know this is crazy, but what if we could do that? How would it happen? That's the first tool. Second tool. I want you to write music that you can't play. Write music that you can't play. Or, let's say the same thing in non-musical terms. Set goals that don't exist. I want you to set a goal. Try this for me. Set at least one goal in 2016 where when you come up with the goal, don't start with what's possible. Start with what's cool. What's right? If 2016 was perfect, what would that be? And why is that not the goal? Here's the test to know you have the kind of goal that I'm talking about. It takes courage to think it. The kind of goal that completes this phrase. Okay, this is nuts, but I'm gonna. What is it? It's nuts, but you're gonna do it anyway. Once you come up with that goal, there's three things you got to do with it. Number one, you got to write it down. You can't just think about it, because if you just think about it and then you don't do it, you let yourself off the hook. I wasn't really going to do it. I was just thinking about it. Number one, you write it down. Two, you got to commit to it. Get your heart in there. This is going to happen. I don't know how, but this is going to happen. And number three, you got to take some physical action on it within 24 hours of writing it down, preferably right away. If you will do this, come up with this crazy goal that you're even intimidated to write down. Write it down, commit to it, take action on it. The coolest thing is going to happen. God will come to your aid. It's so fun to watch this. It turns out God loves goals like this. God is in the business of making the impossible possible. Coincidences will start to happen to move you towards your goal. And I don't believe they're coincidences. I believe that God recognizes when we're willing to step forward into the unknown, where he can work with us and grow with us and make those things happen. Now, I'm not exactly sure why God likes goals like this, but I have a good idea. I believe that when we're willing to step up and say, hey, I want to do this thing. I'm going to try this amazing thing. And it's in line with God's will, God's commandments and things. God gets a chance to be God. When we don't see how we can get there, and God can come in and fill that and make it happen, God gets to shine. He loves it when we look back at something and go, how did that happen? I don't even know. In my life, it's so awesome. It's a blessing, because it is a blessing. God gets to be God. We see this over and over again in the Bible, where God uses the totally misfit, unqualified people to do earth-shaking things. Unbelievable. He does it over and over again. And what God's waiting for is you to step up and say, try it. There's a point in the Bible where God says, in James chapter 4, verse 2, where he says, you receive not because you ask not. Okay, so let's ask. What would that look like for you? For me, it has to do with music. But for you, it might be a better job. It might be a promotion. It might be an income goal. It might be a relationship you don't have that you want and you think is impossible. It might be repairing a relationship with a troubled teen. Maybe it's a ministry that you want to start. We have awesome groups here, but when we serve on Tuesdays, when the guardian angels and Thursday, when they serve the homeless, that didn't exist early on. Someone stepped up and said, hey, I want to do this. And we've watched God step in. God is waiting for you to step up to the plate and do that. Now, I want to share with you a goal completion for myself. I heard a piece of music in the late 1970s, and I said, I'm going to play that on a guitar, which was a nutty goal. And the only thing I did toward the goal was learn to play guitar for decades. About 8 or 9 years ago, I started digging into it. I studied the great composers, Bach, Beethoven, Mozart. This is by one of the great British composers, a guy by the name of Freddie Mercury. You know, okay, that's the group Queen. Okay, the piece is called Bohemian Rhapsody. So you're familiar, okay, so you know, it's got this opera of voices, it's got a full rock band, it's got this flowing piano part that switches from classical to pop back and forth, and then it's got Freddie's unbelievable voice singing, and I don't sing it, so I had to make it all happen on the guitar. Turns out, when you set a goal like this, there's going to be a lot of moving parts, it won't always go according to plan, and let me tell you about this, in 2016, to do things that you've never done, you got to start by doing things that you've never done. I'm going to try this for you. Here we go. This is Bohemian Rhapsody. Wish me luck. Thank you. Guitar Hero? Play that. I still think it needs more cowbell. Some of you follow me on that? Okay, so we're asking what if. What if I could do that? What would it look like? Open up the possibilities. From those possibilities, you're going to write music that you can't play. Set a goal where when you come up with it, don't start with what's possible, start with what's cool. What would make 2016 perfect? Richard Bach once wrote, here's a test to see if your purpose in life is over. If you're alive, it isn't. Okay? That means there's a profound and a divine and a wonderful reason for all of us why we're sitting here. So, the third tool, and what I feel like is probably the most important and the best way that you can make 2016 beyond anything that's happened before in your life is this. Put God first. Put God first in your life. And I realize some of you may be new here and you're going, well, I'm not sure about this God thing. Here's what I'm going to say. Just try it. Just try it. I have been teaching personal development and a personal development nerd, goal setting, the power of thoughts and time management, all these things. I've been teaching them all my life in some way or another. And one day I was reading the Bible and I came across where Jesus sums up everything I have ever taught or ever will teach in one sentence. It's in the book of Matthew. We're going to put it on the screen here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew was one of Jesus' best friends. He was one of the disciples. And he heard Jesus say this, so he's quoting him. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Will be given to you. So let's break that. What is he saying here? What's all these things will be added to you? It's the stuff that's going to make 2016 great. It's the things that you want. There's another part in Psalms where he says he wants to give you the desires of your heart. God is waiting to do that. And all he's waiting for is what's in this verse. He said, hey, put me first. If you'll just let me guide your life, I'm going to give you everything you want. I'm going to make your life this unbelievable adventure. So let's talk about that. What does it mean to put God first? Well, it's going to mean different things for different people. Because we're all at different places in our faith walk and our ideas. You may be new here and be going, I don't know anything about this God thing. What are you talking about here, okay? So maybe your next step is to come next week. Just try it. As Ryan pointed out, we've got an awesome new series, and he's going to talk about it in a second, called I Need a Miracle. And I think most of us need a miracle, right? We're going to talk about and flesh out how God creates miracles in our lives. Maybe your next step is taking one of those Bibles and starting to read it. And if you do that, we've got an awesome thing called vervecatalyst.org. All the information is available back at the Velcro bar, where it's a programmed reading. If you follow this every day, you will read the entire Bible in 1 year. It's a really effective tool. Maybe you've been coming here for a while. So putting God first means you get involved with a microgroup, which is one of the smartest things I've ever done. I love my microgroup. We get to go deeper into the message and flesh out how the things God says apply in our lives. Or maybe it's serving here. I'll give you one possible next step. January 16th at noon until 3 o'clock approximately, I'm presenting my Virtuoso program, my Virtuoso class, part of Verve University, where we're going to take what I've just talked about here, the goals, those goals that you have for yourself, whatever they are. Maybe it's a weight loss goal. Maybe it's an income goal, a job goal, whatever it is. We're going to write those down in the right way. We're going to make a plan for how to apply it. We're going to apply it to the calendar and give you the means to actually make those happen. Or maybe putting God first means you're someone who's recognized the reality of Jesus. You realize, gosh, there's something pulling on my heart here. I know it's real, but I've never said yes. Maybe putting God first means saying yes to Jesus. Saying, yes, you know what? I trust that you have a better plan for my life than mine. And I want to make that happen. Jesus, come into my life. And if you're in that place, we have a great opportunity right at the beginning of the year. It's called baptism. We invite you to get baptized. Baptism is where you are literally lowered underwater, representing death, the grave. And you are then, you're dying to the old self, the 2015 self, and you're raised out of the grave, and your life is brand new, washed clean, and now Jesus is running your life. It's an amazing thing when it happens. We're offering that 1 week from today and tomorrow. If you are interested in it, just sign up back at the Velcro Bar. It's not an obligation. Doesn't mean you have to do it. You're just saying, hey, I'd like more information about this. Someone talk with me about this. What does this mean? So, bring this all around. I want you to ask, what if? Open up the possibilities. There are so many possibilities. They're right in front of you and you don't see them. What if I could do that? What would it look like? From those possibilities, write music that you can't play. Set goals where you don't start with what's possible. Start with what's right, what's cool. And more than anything, if you want to do just one thing that's going to make 2016 your best year ever, put God first. Make him the captain of your life. We're going to give you a chance to think about this because I've laid a lot of stuff on you here and there's a number of things that are going to happen. So what we're going to do is I'm going to pray and then the band is going to come up in just a moment and they're going to play one more song. And this will be a chance for you to just kind of contemplate, kind of sit with these things. What does this mean for you? What's your next step? What are your goals? What do you want to sign up for? We're also going to offer communion at that time. Communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice, which signify Jesus' life and his blood, which he gave for us, for you, on the cross. And by partaking of that, we're accepting that, that gift. If you would like to do that, the communion is available on each of these little lighted candle lit tables. Or if you just want to sit back and listen to the song, that's fine too. So I'm going to pray, and then the band's going to come up. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity for us all to gather. Thank you for this chance to be together and to explore your words and what you want in our lives. We ask you to give us a vision, each one of us, for what 2016 could be. We ask you to make those things possible, to give us the courage to step out and pursue those things. We also ask that you would guide us in making those happen. And that you would help us to put you first. Recognize that when we put you first, things are right with the world. Things are aligned properly. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this awesome opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.